It's good to be with you this morning. It's a beautiful ride over here to Butler. You have beautiful countryside. I love coming this direction. It's a little bit of a change for me. I've been preaching different churches here for the last year or so, and I've preached probably half the Sundays out of these last 12 months. Coming up to the time I left Elwood, that was a bivocational call for us, and I've been working full-time in another job, and we needed to take a break and just see what the Lord would have for us, and God has been good. I appreciate your sense of humor. That's always a good thing, to come to worship and have some people that aren't afraid to smile and to laugh, and I appreciated that this morning as we come together. We're going to be looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 this morning. Some familiar verses to us, and if you read Paul's letters, this is probably the most complimentary letter that he wrote to any of the churches. He really came across to the Thessalonians as a church that was doing a good job, but at the same time, he still gave them instruction. And when we get to the end of the whole first letter that he wrote here to the Thessalonians, he sort of starts to shorten it up. And we're going to be looking at verses 16, 17, and 18. If you're struggling to memorize verses right now, these are some ones to go back to and memorize again, because they're really short, but they're powerful verses, especially as we come into a season of Thanksgiving, which I think the forethought of those who gave us a day called Thanksgiving Day was a good thing, because it brings us into a time of just realizing, as we just were singing about, the goodness of God. We need to stop. We need to pause from all the busyness of life, and to hear, think, and really contemplate how good God is. Even in the midst of all the battles, even in the midst of all the hard times that life gives to us day in and day out, to stop and know we have a good God. A God who is so incredibly good to us. And we come together this morning and look at these short three verses, but I believe that the Lord will speak to us about his goodness again this morning. Verse 16 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Let's pray again together. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be here together this morning, to lift up praise to our Savior Jesus, to be thankful, Lord, before you. We think of the veterans that have made it possible for us to have such incredible freedom. We thank you so much for that this morning as well, that we would stop and think of that here today and tomorrow, Lord, as there's opportunity to do so. But Lord, to really be thankful for the incredible freedom we have and the freedom we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for this word that you've given to us, that you gave to the Apostle Paul all those years ago. And yet, Lord, you desire to speak it to our hearts this morning. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would have his way as we are in this place, and that you would make us attentive to all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a couple that was getting ready to go out for the evening, and as there's opportunity now, not just for taxis, but for Ubers, they called an Uber, a car comes up and picks them up, and as they got to the door, the husband said to the wife, he said, "I forgot to put the cat out." He said, "Go out and tell the car that I will be right out. Go out and tell the driver I'll be right out, but just hold the car, and I'm coming out to go with you." So she went out. She didn't want anybody thinking that the house was empty. So she said to the driver of the car, she said, "My husband had to go back in. He's very close with my mother, and he had to tell her goodbye." So a couple minutes passed, and the husband came out, got in the car in a big rush. He said, "That stupid thing, she got under the bed, and I had to take a coat hanger and poke at her until she would come out." And of course, this really made the driver roll his eyes at that point, you know. There's certain things in life that God's going to ask us to do that we don't really feel like doing sometimes. Kind of like that cat didn't feel like coming out of that bed. There are certain times that we might even feel like we're getting poked by God to do things that we need to do. It's something that we absolutely need to do. In fact, Greg Carmer from Gordon College said this: "God may call us to do things that don't feel natural to us at first, but as we listen and respond to the call of God, we get connected to our deeper desires. After all, the things God calls us to are things that he created us to do in the first place." And when we look at these few verses, and we're coming off of a season where the world has really celebrated Halloween. I think Halloween probably personifies so much of the United States of America today, unfortunately, because of not just the spiritual side of it, but sort of like the gimme side of it. We're an on-demand personality today in the United States, where we can pick up our phone or our tablet or our computer or turn on our TV, and we can ask for whatever we want right now to watch right now, and it's there. It's just that kind of, and there's a nice side to that. I'm not downplaying all the technology, but we're a type of culture that says, I want it right now. And we just want it. And we expect it. And it's available to us. So to turn the page from that, to look at God's word this morning, and it begins to talk about Thanksgiving. Again, like as I was saying before, it really begins to beckon our hearts back to something God created us to be in the first place. And that is thankful for the incredible goodness of our God. And to kind of set the stage for that as we're coming into it, he says here in verse 16, rejoice. Now, rejoicing is not necessarily a part of Western Pennsylvania culture. I grew up in Western Pennsylvania and have lived here most of my life. There was only a short time that I lived in the great state of Kentucky. And that was a wonderful experience, let me tell you. If you've never been to Kentucky, take some time and take a detour through the bluegrass. It's a fun place to be. And to live for 4 years when I was down there. My wife and I lived there for those years, and our first daughter was born there. But as we, as you're being told, I have a big family, but just the first one was born there. The rest of them were born here in Pennsylvania. But here in Pennsylvania, we sort of almost take it pride in the fact that we can be grouchy about things, that we can be a little bit, sour or bitter about things at times. I remember a few years back, I like watching the Pirates, even though they don't like to always win. But I like watching the Pirates. And one of their pitchers went to the Astros just recently. I'm not even going to call him by a name. But one of the things he said about the Pirate fan base is, he said, they're bitter. I like that about them. And our fan base is bitter. And you think about it. Now, we haven't had to do this for a while, but if you go into Pittsburgh the day after the Steelers lose, it's a bitter place. You know, everybody's got their jersey on Friday, and it's a good time. It's a good ride. Everybody's happy about the Pittsburgh Steelers, and all of a sudden, and they lose. Oh, my, you know, and they're calling for heads on sports talk radio and every place else. So for us to say that God tells us to rejoice, it seems to go very much against our grain at times. And for then, for the Lord to give these words to Paul, rejoice always. And we almost ask the question to the Lord at that point, always, really? Really, always? That's what you want us to do? You see, rejoicing, it lets loose not just the emotion of joy or happiness, because sometimes I think that's what we go back to. But if we go back to the book of Job, we see Job, who is just entrenched in incredible misery and pain, and yet what does he say? The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. What's he say then? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Even in this deeply painful part of his life, we see this, it's a form of rejoicing. And, you know, for us, when we think about Thanksgiving Day, it might not all be happiness. That's sort of like the Hallmark side of this, isn't it? But sometimes the fact that we have to be with family is painful. You can laugh at that. But it's true. There are certain family members that challenge our salvation, our sanctification, everything on down the road that the Lord's doing in us. Then there's the other side of that, is when we can't be with family. And that's the reality here in Western Pennsylvania, that we have a shortage of workers, but for the longest time we had a shortage of work. And for that reason, we've exported a lot of our loved ones to different places around the globe. And so there are a lot of families that are split up over this holiday. So there's pain involved with it. But yet I think to set the table truly for Thanksgiving and in where we need to be and where God's heart is for us, he brings it up here in a very short but powerful verse, and that is to rejoice. Rejoice always. In Philippians, which Paul talks about joy a lot and rejoicing, in Philippians chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, he says, but even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and I share my joy with you all. You too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me. Notice the sharing of joy. Sometimes we, in this world, there's this sort of fake joy that kind of comes up where people want to parade their life across in front of us on social media or someplace else to say, look how great my life is, and it's too bad that you're in such a bad situation yourself. That's kind of the way it is, but that's not, Paul said, listen, there is more than enough of this to go around, because it's not from me. It's not from Paul himself. It's not from you yourself. It was from God from whom all blessings flow. It comes from an eternal source where God is able to give it. And I'll tell you, if you're feeling dry this morning, if you feel like you're in that hard place this morning, this is a place to come to God about it. That we need to rejoice. He's given us reason to rejoice. Just in Jesus Christ alone, as we sang about earlier there. Christ alone. To come back to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, you've given me much reason to rejoice. Even in my pain, even to cry out the way that Job cried out there, blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, it puts us in a vulnerable spot to rejoice, though, because there is emotion in it. When we truly rejoice, there is emotion that does come out from it. And it is not always what we want to display to ourselves, even. But yet what God calls us to do is to rejoice always. And as Paul is saying, there is to share our joy, to share our joy. We're more than happy here in Western Pennsylvania to share in our disappointment. You know, isn't that the case? It amazes me how popular sports talk radio is. Because I only do like little bits and pieces of. My son is a big Steelers fan. He is a big Steelers. Ever since he was just a little tyke, and he's always had real short, blondish hair, and he was a Troy Polamalu fan. And he would put on a number 43 jersey and be all excited, and you're like, you're such a, not a Polamalu, you know, when you look at him. But he just always was so excited about that. But, you know, when we think about the sentiment that we share about our major sports teams and our college teams and all that, because there seems there's a connection with that. Even our high school football is so much in full swing right now. And my alma mater actually made the playoffs. Mohawk High School made the playoffs. We don't get to the playoffs much down that way. But they made the playoffs this year, and they got beat by Charleroi soundly the other night. And there was much crying and travail on Facebook about that. But, you know, we're more than willing to talk about the things that we're disappointed about, the election results, things on down the line that we can talk about that really disappoint us. But when's the last time we really talked about something we could rejoice about? When's the last time we talked about someone we could rejoice about? And yet that's the bottom line is what he's saying is rejoice always, even in those situations that disappoint us most greatly. And it's not some fake thing that we put on, because sometimes I think that we can paste that on for Sunday morning and it doesn't go any deeper than the smile that's on our face. This is talking about something much deeper. The Word of God is talking about something much, much deeper here to us this morning in verse 16. Again, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, it says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you. So by chapter 3, he'd already said this a couple times in 1 and 2. He gets to chapter 3, and he says to them once again, it doesn't bother me to say this to you again. And how many times maybe have we even seen this little verse on a little bookmark or a card that we've gotten? Rejoice always. But don't we need it again? It's like every month whenever we come to the table. Jesus knew we needed it again. It wasn't just enough for us to talk about the cross once in a year, twice in a year. We needed to be reminded in very tangible ways to take those elements and to come before God and say, thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross. And we need to be reminded over and over about rejoicing and to truly knowing that. To rejoice always. Again, in Philippians 4:4, he hasn't given up yet on these Philippians. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. You think about all that Paul suffered from. Not only did he have the thorn in the flesh it talks about there, but also imprisonment, shipwreck. Boy, I'm telling you what, if he lived in Western Pennsylvania, he could really go with the best of us, couldn't he? He could go right down the list and tell us all the sour things that were going on in his life. And he was doing it for Jesus all the time. You read his story, ever since the Lord really met him on that Damascus road, which was a dramatic situation to really get his attention, he could have complained about that. Why did you have to blind me? All the things he could have complained about, and yet he's telling the Philippians, you need to rejoice. And it doesn't pain me to tell you over and over again to rejoice. That's what he's saying. We need to be reminded about that. We need to be told about it. And we need to really put it into practice. The next verse he talks about there, pray without ceasing. We talk about prayer in church a lot. We even pray in church. We might even pray before meals. but the whole spirit. And I'm going to tell you this, if you are craving as a body of Christ, craving for God's work to be done and for him to revive your church and for the church generally, prayer is where it starts. We see it over and over again as we look back through the Word of God. When we see when the disciples were in prison, when Peter and John were taken aside and they were mistreated and given a mockery of a trial because they had healed a man, in chapter 4 of Acts, what do? They go back and they pray. That's where it starts, as they pray. They break out in Psalm 2, and they begin to pray from that place, and then they move forward, and the place was shaken, and then they had greater boldness, greater courage, it says, to go out and to really spread Jesus Christ. It starts with prayer. God wants us to be a people of prayer. And the challenge that Paul puts before us is to pray without ceasing. You say, well, this is kind of difficult for us to pray without ceasing. You know, we have to go about our everyday chores. Well, driving across here this morning, which I wasn't wasting any time getting to your church this morning, and I wasn't speeding out there. I didn't pass Antonio Brown on the way here or anything getting here. But as I was coming across, if you didn't hear, he'd been doing some speeding this week. But as I was coming across, just to take some time and to pray, because there was a big long breath of or dead air there with my GPS coming across 422. She didn't say anything for about 26 miles. So just to pray. Those moments that we have in the car, I think, are times whenever we'll turn up the radio and we'll listen to a lot of noise, even if it's good music. I'm not trying to come down on your music as being noise and mine being better than yours. I'm not saying that. Or talk radio, if that's what you listen to. Or preaching, even if you listen to that. But to take just moments like that to pray. As my kids used to say when we'd go through the drive-thru, and I'd pick on one of them and say, pray for our meal. I'd say, Dad, don't close your eyes. Dad, don't close your eyes, because they knew we were supposed to close our eyes. But don't worry, I'm not going to close my eyes. But even with our eyes wide open, as we're taking in just the scenery going down the road, or of course, paying attention, which is at a premium today, right? But to pray. God will lay people on your heart. There are many needs in your congregation this morning as those were lifted up. Just those different ones that God will lay upon your heart. And God wants to work powerfully through that prayer. That's what Paul's talking about, is just given those opportunities that we have, that sometimes we fill up with something else besides God. He's saying, take those moments and lift them up to the Lord. Spend that time in communion. Just give thanks. Give thanks in those moments. Praise God. Hard as it is, he's calling us to prayer. He's calling us to that place of praying for him. You know, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, it says that we're to whatever we do in word or deed, to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so as we're in that moment, whatever it is, whatever you work, if you're retired and you have that opportunities, there's going to be great many opportunities for us to pray. In Romans chapter 12, it says, rejoice in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayers. He's giving again this list of things to the Roman church at that moment of what they should be up to really give our life. In the beginning of chapter 12, he says that we're to give our life as a living sacrifice. And he said, the living sacrifice, what does it look like? To rejoice in hope, to persevere in tribulation, and to be devoted in prayer. The without ceasing part, as I said, might be a little difficult to us, but in Ephesians 6:18, it says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. With this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. It's one of our weapons. It's one of our greatest weapons. We find ourselves in a situation that is so seemingly impenetrable. We should pray. When we least feel like we should pray, I've heard this quote and I'm kind of paraphrasing from Billy Graham. When we least feel like it, that's when we should pray. That's when we need to pray most. I was in a gathering with a group of Christians not too long ago, and we sat down and they gave us these missionary prayer requests, international workers to pray for in their fields. And as we were sitting there, they were asked to pray for them, and some of the people I know that have been Christians maybe longer than I've been alive, they couldn't pray. They felt embarrassed to pray at that moment. And I know we're not all the same type of people. You might find it hard to believe, but I'm an introvert. By every time I take one of those inventories and they tell me, you're an introvert. I'm like, yeah, that is. And God has a sense of humor. He sticks me up in front of people to preach. But nonetheless, when God calls us to pray, you know, if we've been in the spirit of prayer, if we've been through seasons of hardship and seasons of joy, and we have prayed, it becomes to us a regular language to come before Him. And we should be putting that into practice over and over again. So He tells us to rejoice. He tells us to pray. And as I said, these are not easy things for us to do. They go against the grain of our very being at times to do. Then He tells us there in verse 18, in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. I've heard some preachers say about this. Now notice He says in everything and not for everything. He changes His tune a little bit, and we'll see that in one of the other verses here that I'm going to give you from Paul in Ephesians. But back to that verse there in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, it says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. We give thanks to Him. Give thanks to Him because of what He's given us the capacity to do. Give thanks to Him because of all. We give glory to Him in all that we do. Again, in Ephesians 5:20, it says, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. So it says there again, to give thanks for all things. He changes the preposition a little bit. There's some things that aren't necessarily thankworthy in our lives, to use a word there. It's not always something that we say, boy, I really am thankful for that. I was out taking breaks off the front of my car yesterday, and I said, this is not putting me in a Thanksgiving mood. You know how that goes. Things don't always move the way that they ought to, and your knuckles get in the way of immovable objects. And at one time, I really thought the Lord wanted me to be a mechanic. At this point in my life, I see why He didn't want me to be a mechanic. But even in those moments to pray, even in those moments to be thankful, to be thankful. And there, like I said, there might be some dark days here in the future as you're going into the days of Thanksgiving. We sort of make that a romanticized vision of coming together as family, but sometimes it's a real challenge, and I realize that. And God realizes that. But yet He doesn't let us off the hook. He says we still need to recognize His goodness. We still need to recognize, we still need to have, and I really believe that as Paul is sort of putting these out there almost in machine gun fashion for us, these little short verses or phrases that he's putting before us here this morning, to rejoice always. He did that on purpose to bring it to our attention that we need rejoicing in our lives, no matter where we're at, no matter what we've experienced, no matter how great the losses or how great the victories. We need to rejoice. No matter what the situation, we need to be people of prayer. And we need thanksgiving. We need thanksgiving. We need to take those moments and really thank God for what He has done. And in doing this, look what he says at the end of that verse. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So many times we look at the particulars in life and we are always having to make decisions. You know, as a young person, we think we got a couple of real big decisions to make on down the road. We find out there are constant decisions and a myriad of decisions that we've got to make every day. I was talking to my nephew, and as he had graduated from college and he was getting ready to get married, he said, I am so glad because I got a job, I've got my wife, things are moving together, and I don't have to make so many decisions now. I'm like, whoa. I didn't want to like rain on his parade but saying, these ones are just starting for you, buddy. You know, you're just getting to the place where you're making decisions. They just keep coming. And they get harder at times. The doctor says you have two options. You say, why can't you make the decision for me? Whenever you come to those places. Your wife tells you that you got this decision or that decision, you just got to figure out what her decision is, right? Gentlemen. But we, to embrace the will of God, sometimes when we get to those decisions and we labor over the will of God at those moments and we don't think about the general side of it, where God's will for us is to be people of thanksgiving. We fulfill the will of God in being people of thanksgiving. We sort of omit the word of God when it comes down to whether or not we're obeying that. We just want the specific answers right when we want them.
And yet what God is saying is, this is to be who you are. People of Thanksgiving. People of Thanksgiving. Back to that quote again. You know, and there are times, and maybe even this morning, the Holy Spirit, it almost feels like that coat hanger is chasing you out from underneath the bed. When it comes to rejoicing, when it comes to prayer, when it comes to Thanksgiving. And it doesn't feel real natural. But the more that we do it, the more we put it into exercise, we realize this is what we were made for in the first place. This sinful world will drag it out of us, will pull it out of us, even after moments of knowing that you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, and you know that He has been working in you and sanctifying and making you holy. And yet it's so hard sometimes to rejoice. You get up in the morning and you have those aches and pains, which I know some of you have beat me in that contest. We won't even get there. But I'm starting to get them at this age. I got a few gray hairs up there now. Not as many as some of you, I know. But as we go through that, we say, those aches and pains, it's hard to rejoice. It's difficult to go through that. It's difficult to be thankful. But yet Paul is telling us this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. I want you to think about this. As you're going into this time of Thanksgiving, have you ever experienced rejoicing, prayer, and Thanksgiving all together in the same place at the same time? Go back and think about that. Go back in the inventory of what God has done in your life as that come together that way where you really were rejoicing. And it might be in a strange place. It might have even been at a funeral. And I think about some of the people that have passed in my life. Sometimes when you're standing there beside the grave and it is so hard. It is so difficult. And it's hard. And I pastored my last church. There were so many that passed. So many. Lost about 15 in 1 year. And I wonder sometimes, how do pastors do it in war zones? Places like that. It must be so hard. And whenever you look in the face of somebody who's lost so much, but yet in those moments, especially when somebody has known the Lord and their testimony's gone out and you're there and you're weeping and you're trying to be as Job and say, blessed be the name of the Lord. You even take in those moments, you rejoice, you pray, and you're so thankful. Where would you have been if that person hadn't been? Maybe that was a person that led you to Christ or led you down that road towards following Him closer. Or what He's brought you through. Strange places that this can show up. But think about it. Times when rejoicing, prayer, and thanksgiving have been in your life. What were the circumstances in your life at that moment? And what can you do now to allow God to work this act of thanksgiving in your life at this point? What can you do? Because there are things. God doesn't just force this on us. You see, that's the gentleness of God. Where He doesn't just come and just bulldoze over us and say, be thankful. He doesn't do that. You know, God can exist and continue on and continue to bring His will upon the earth and His sovereignty without us being agreeable towards this. We can shrink right back into our good Western Pennsylvanian selves and but God wants us. He said, if you really want to experience my will, to be people of thanksgiving this way. So I challenge us today. Think back. Find those times. As painful as it might be to go back and say, that was a time, Lord, you were so at work. That was a time when you were so much, so close to me. And maybe even pray this. Do that again in my life. I want to experience that from you. I want to be that person in your will. In these short little verses. And I would encourage you this week, go back, read these verses, memorize them. Put them to memory. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks to the Lord. To go back and to just bring this back into your heart as well this week. Let's pray together. Lord, you're good to us. We've sung it. We've heard it from your word that you're just a good God. Father, there are so many situations in life that aren't good. There's so many things that are going on in our country today that aren't good. They're not of you. And Lord, they grieve our hearts. They cause us to complain at times. They cause us, Lord, to want justice. They cause us, Lord, to reach towards you. Father, there may be things in the lives of those that are gathered here before you today that have not been good. other, there may be the struggle with family right now, and I pray, Lord, for that one, that, oh, Lord, you would reach down and you would just minister to those hearts this morning. The strength, Lord, that you have, that you have been holding them up, that you've been walking with them with. Father, those who may have experienced incredible loss, maybe even in recent days, where ones they have loved have passed. Lord, I pray that you would walk with them right now too. Encourage them, Lord. Lift them up. Lord, in this time of thanksgiving, that you would truly give us reason and truly give us the focus to rejoice. To rejoice in you, Christ. That's where it comes from, Jesus. Jesus, it comes from you. We can't conjure this up in and of ourselves. Not any one of these. But Lord, it is your will for us. Father, I pray that you would bring back those moments that we would love for you to not just to relive, Lord, but that you would bring that back into our hearts, that joy that was there, that rejoicing, that time of prayer, Lord, that connection that we have with you and had with you, maybe that was so incredibly intimate and wonderful and special. Lord, that you would do that in our hearts again. And Father, that you would make us people of thanksgiving. Lord, I pray that you would bless gatherings. Even this afternoon, the gathering the church is planning for here in the week to come, Lord, that you would just make them wonderful and special, Lord. The presence of God would be so, so near and dear to these ones that they would sense you and thanksgiving would just overflow, that we would remember the goodness of God. Father, I pray that you'd bless your people as we go from this place today. Bless them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit until Jesus comes again, as he surely will. And then we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.